Okay, this coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Naso all over the world. We're going to be reading Parshas Naso. Parshas Naso, of course, begins right where Parshas Bamidbar left us, with Moshe Rabbeinu being told how to give instructions to the rest of the families of the tribe of Levi as to who carries what within the traveling parts of the Mishkan. And Moshe Rabbeinu and the families go ahead and proceed accordingly. And this takes us up through the very first two aliyos, after which time the Torah begins its discussion first of the responsibilities of removing the Tameh, the Tzaruah, and the Zav, and the Chol Tameh LaNefesh from the camp of the Jewish people. And then we're told thereafter about the fact that sometimes people sin. And when they do sin, and when we do sin, we have a responsibility to engage in a reparative process, some of which involves the recitation of vidui. This is, of course, the source of the tshuva process known as vidui. And then, and thereafter, we are told, of course, of how we have to return that which was taken illicitly from somebody else. And what happens if the person is involved in stealing from a ger? So their rules therein are discussed as well. At the end of the third aliyah, we are told, V'ish es kadashav lo yihiyu. When a person takes a kachim from a ger, right, those things belong to him. Ish asher yitein la'kohen lo yiyeh. When a person gives stuff to a kohen, it belongs to him. And what's the purpose of the repetition of the idea of lo yihyeh? So the great Rav Bitzal Rudinsky Shalita, the Rosh Hashiva of Oruvain, opined that one has a responsibility to recognize that even the money and profit that a person has is not his own. Trumos and maizos that need to be separated and given to appropriate parties, be it a kohen or a levi or an ani and the responsible areas, even those things where we assume that that's the part I give to Hashem, it's not so. The remainder also belongs to Hashem. And the remainder is really what Hashem is giving to us. Lo yihyeh means it was his. It belonged to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to begin with. It's left over for the rest of us to enjoy as well. Thereafter, with this, the beginning of the Aliyah of Revi, we have three major sections, two super-duper long ones, and then one very short but very important one. The first one is the Parsha of Sota, the woman who is suspected of illicit activity by her husband, and we are introduced to that section, ish kisiste ishto, when a man should suspect his wife. The word siste comes with the shorish shoita, or a fool. And Rashi notes that a person only sins, ein adam chote, elam kei nechnas bo ruach shtos. A person can only sin when he loses his mind. And Rav Chaim Shmuel Levis explains that people think that a little sin is not the worst thing in the world, that if we sin, we still maintain our spiritual growth mindset. But the truth of the matter is, a little sin is a big deal. It's an error. Everyone convinces himself or herself of that point. But the truth is, says Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, that is a big mistake. People don't maintain themselves when they've sinned. They go down. And we have a responsibility to pull ourselves up. Baruch Hashem, we have the opportunity for tshuva, for v'ezvadu es avonam asher asu. But we have a responsibility to know the process of an avera is something that needs to be repaired and brought up. After we read about the sota, we read about the nazir. The nazir, we are told, has a responsibility to be in a nazirus, right, until he gets to the point where he is in the malos. The language of the pasuk in Perek Vav, over here, it's Perek Vav Pasuk Kei. We're told that he has to abstain from grapes and from haircutting and from all that stuff. And then we're told, Kol Yimei Neder Nizro, for all the days of his Nizirus, Tar Lo Yavor Al Rosho, he should not have a razor go on his hair. Ad Malos Hayamim, until the fulfillment of the days, Asher Yazir La Hashem, that he has dedicated in Nizirus Kadosh Yiyah. What is the word Malos Hayamim? What do we learn from the completion of the days? So we have a concept called Mitzas Hayom Kikulo. We have a concept called a part of a day is a day. And Rav Shachter used to point out to us that of course, the principles of Mitzas Hayom Kikulo are not absolute. Sometimes part of a day is a day, sometimes part of a day is not a day. And so how come it is that sometimes we say Mitzas Hayom Kikulo and sometimes we don't say Mitzas Hayom Kikulo? So Mori Virabi, Rav Shechta Shalita, would often remind us that things that are tied to the regular calendar, those things can't cheat that calendar. So, for instance, those things we don't have the ability to say Mixas Ayom Kikulo. Shabbos is a day that's tied to the calendar, so you can't say Mixas Ayom Kikulo on Shabbos. Yontif is a day that's tied to the calendar. You don't have the ability to say Mixas Ayom Kikulo on Yontif. However, when a time is superimposed on the calendar, right, when you have something that's non-calendaric, so then Rosh Hashanah used to point out to us, then we can say that a part of a day is a day. Avelus, Mixas Ayom Kikulo on Shiv and Shloshim. When a woman counts Zayin Nikim, certain aspects of the Dinam of Nazir, all of these things are referred to as a Malos. And since they're all referred to as a Malos, right, it allows the concept of Mixas Ayom Kikulo to apply. Okay. Then, we're told that when he goes ahead and he does his Karbanos, he is told to bring a bunch of different Karbanos on the day that he does what's called the Tigalachas, the day that he completes his Nizirus. And one of the things he's told is to bring a Kavsa Bashnasa Temima Lechatas, that he has to bring a one-year-old lamb as a Karban Chatas. Now, why is it that the one who successfully completes the Nizirus, why is it that he has to bring a Chatas? He did what he was supposed to do, and he did it with success. Where's the sin? So the Gemara in Tainus on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph suggests that the sin was because he held himself back from wine and it caused him pain. How could that be? We also refer to a Nazir as a Kadosh. Doesn't it seem strange that the one who's called Kadosh and is granted special prophecy status should also be called a Chote? He should also be called a sinner? So Rabbi Avigdor Neben Sal Shalita explained that the issue is not the Nazirus itself, but rather the motivation behind the Nazirus. There was a Shimshon, a Gibor. There was a Shmuel HaNavi. We assume that they are both identified as Nazirim. Shmuel HaNavi, we assume, was a Nazir. And because of their accepting of the Nazirus, they were better servants of Hashem as a result. But the Mefarshim also tell us that Avshalom was also a Nazir. And it was the hair, the Nazirus hair itself, that did him in. So it says, Rav Nebensal says, Nazirus in of itself is not what makes one Kadosh. It's the desire to fulfill the will of Hashem in the way that Hashem wanted it to be done. That's what makes one Kadosh. One doesn't have the ability just to choose willy-nilly. Nor should one just do empty actions. One needs to understand that when you're taking something on that's above Torah law, you have to make sure that what you're doing is done for the purposes of the Torah and not beyond. The third section in this Aliyah is the section of Birchas Kohanim. Aaron HaKohen is told, Kosevar Chues B'nei Yisrael Amor Lahem, that you have a responsibility to speak unto them. And we're told, Yivarechecha Hashem V'yishmerecha, that Hashem should bless you and protect you. And what do you get out of the word and protect you? V'yishmerecha. So Rashi explains that the intent of the bracha is not just to receive from Hashem, right? Hashem gave us a bounty, and then to let the bracha slip through our fingers. A person should be protected in order to be able to take the bounty from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not let it slip through his fingers. But HaMashpia, Rabbi Moshe Weinberger, the Rav of Eish Kodesh, he pointed out that in Hasidic literature, the human being is compared to, it's often identified as a kli. And the job of the kli is to collect the light, the or. And kelim, that are able to capture the or aganas, they need to be complete in order not to let the light or the blessing slip through. If you think about people who win the lottery, or if you think about sports and music stars who have their day in the sun, and then all of a sudden they weren't able to capture it, they lose it all because they're not able to handle all the wealth. Rabbi Weinberger used to add that there are other character defects which are indicative of broken vessels type people. People who are stingy, people who are arrogant, people who are self-aggrandizing, people who are negative, they see no joy in the bracha that they receive. The more a person internalizes the attributes of generosity, love, joy, and gratitude, the more that he makes himself into a kli who's able to safeguard all of the brachos of Hashem that are showered upon him or upon her. Finally, at the end of the parsha, we are told all about the Karbanos HaNisiyim. And that section is opened up with the famous phrase, Vayihi biyom kalos Moshe la'akim es ha-mishkan. It was on the day that Moshe completed the Mishkan, and Rashi comments, The day of establishing the Mishkan was the same day, it was similar to the day that the Kala goes to the Chuppah. So Rav Shach Zatzal was bothered by this. and wanted to know why. So he explained that the word Kala is spelled Chaf Lamed Hey, which means end. Kale means to end. Why is she ending under the chuppah? When a Kala goes under a chuppah, it's just the beginning. So Rav Shach answered that in life, every finish is actually a preparation for a new beginning. When a person finishes one tikufa in life, it's really a preparation for a new beginning. And that everything we complete is an ending, but an ending is a new beginning. Every ending is actually a haskala. And that's exactly what happened when Moshe was done setting up the Mishkan. That's true, he was done. But sometimes when you're done, you're actually just getting started. And we're told that the Nesiim, Hivius Karbanam LaHashem, they brought their Karban to Hashem. And the Midrash identifies multiple intentions for each of the Nesiim as each one brought his Karban. Each one had a different reason for bringing the Karban that he did. How could such different intentions lead to the same Karban? So Soloveitchik Zatzal explained that when one offers a Karban, he or she is offering a little bit of himself or herself in the process. And since the carbon is the substitution of animal for man, the carbon, through kavana, should reflect the kochos, the strengths, and the midos of the person who brings it. And that's what the Nesiim were doing. But ultimately, when they actually got down to the brass tacks, the outward expression was exactly the same. That in the Haftorah, we read about the story of Manoach and his wife. The Malach comes to Manoach. And he tells her, Hinach akara velo yaladis. You were an akara, and you shall not give birth. But when she comes to speak to Manoach, she tells him a malach came, and she leaves out the words, Hinach akara velo yaladis, that you were the one who was an akara. So it's interesting to note that she didn't point out that she was the akara, the inability that she had. She did not have the ability to have the kids. And the Medrash explains that that's because she didn't want to expose her own shortcoming. She was too afraid. So Binyamin Eisenberger Shlita adds that when it comes to time to make peace between quarreling factions, it's always useful to leave an escape route for the side that's going to capitulate in order to give that person a place to escape with dignity. If a person gives a person a place to escape with dignity, it makes Shalom come that much faster. Sometimes we get involved in such terrible machloksin, and we say and do such awful things. And we sometimes don't know what we're doing because we're so convinced that we're right. And that leads to further machlokas and further distance, which of course keeps us away from the bigger things. By giving ourselves room to allow the other side to be able to come through and escape with dignity, we are actually doing and bringing shalom faster. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be able to give us that opportunity so that we can get the huge opportunity to not keep distancing between ourselves, but to bring us all together closer to the mountain. Shabbat Shalom to all.